Hello, welcome back to Capes and Junk. I am your host, John Lucero. Joining me as always, my co-host, Michael Hughes. Michael, say hello to the people.
It's Morphin time.
Yeah, it it's Morphin. That joke's going to play really well in 2 weeks.
Or at the end of the episode.
Yeah, at the end of the episode. Here in episode 19, though, Michael, It's transforming time. So... For this episode, we're talking about Transformers, the Transformers, the movie is officially
Love
the title
it.
Of this. Yeah, it's really rolls off the tongue. 1986 animated film that takes place after the first two seasons of Generation One Transformers, a movie I had seen before. And you might be wondering why we're doing Transformers for our channels. I guess that's probably what this will be. Because I found out, I sort of remember how, that Michael has never, you've never seen Transformers other than, like, I guess the Michael Bay movies, maybe, right?
I'm sure we watched the cartoon as kids, but it wasn't, like, a huge part of our childhood. I know we had some of the toys and shit, and then,
sure.
Yeah, I saw the first three Michael Bay movies.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, the first one's all right.
Yes, the first one is all right. The first one is probably the second best of the live action ones. Maybe the third after Rise of the Beasts, which is okay, also decent. Bumblebee is clearly the best one for.
I did see Bumblebee. That was fantastic.
Yeah, Bumblebee is a great movie. But this one is it's the first Transformers movie. And it's animated, and I was just shocked that honestly Michael had never had it. Seemed like Transformers would be things Michael would be immediately into just conceptually. Transforming robots, he loves transformations and things, so that's like the whole core of Transformers. For me, Transformers is definitely up there in terms of like the most influential, like. Properties from my childhood. Now, I didn't watch G1 Transformers. I saw some reruns of G1 Transformers, but obviously it was way before my time when it was initially airing. I grew up with Beast Wars was my Transformers. And
flawlessly aged too.
Oh god, I would love them to just remake that show. I mean, because the writing is actually pretty good in Beast Wars. That's like it, and the plots are really strong. There's some really good characters. It's still regarded as one of the better Transformers shows. But yes, the CGI is very early CGI, and it doesn't look great anymore. It was cool when it came out. Not so much now. I grew up watching that with my dad. We watched like every episode together. I guess I'm also a bit of a lapsed Transformers fan in a way, and that I don't super keep up with like any of the like recent cartoons or anything. I'll check the movies out, and I'm always curious, but I think I'm just kind of waiting for a Beast Wars thing to happen. So Rise of the Beast might be the closest I ever get. I've watched some of Prime and some of the animated series from 07. I think it's just called Transformers the Animated Series.
That's one of those franchises that it seems like it's always pumping something out, and I'm kind of cursory aware of it, but
yeah.
It's not something I look into myself.
Yeah, I think it's pretty close in terms of like to Turtles, in terms of like how many different series there are of it at this point. If not more, there's actually quite a bit of Transformers series, especially some Japanese only ones that are very anime. It's definitely something that I like. I have like Power Rangers, Digimon, in the non-Toonami anime section, it's like Transformers, Digimon, Power Rangers, and I think I'm forgetting another one that's really big for me. Those are just things that Yu-Gi-Oh! I think those are all like that's my childhood stuff that I still hold on to. So Michael hadn't seen any of it, and I was thinking, what's the best way to do this? So I picked the most insane Transformers movie possibly ever made, and it's the first one, and so. A little background. So, Michael, you had never seen this, right? Prior to this?
Right.
You never.
Yeah.
Yes. So, So this movie came out August 8th, 1986, 2 years after the debut of original Transformers, which is referred to as G1 by most fans. I don't know if that's actually the... I don't think that's the official. I think it's just called The Transformers. And it had a budget of $6 million, which today is around, like, $16 million, I think. Which is, I think, like, 10... was, like... 10 times the amount of an episode, you know, how much an episode would cost. But it had a worldwide gross of $5.8 million. It did not make its money back. It was the 99th highest grossing movie of 1986.
Oof.
Yeah. Hasbro lost $10 million that year from this movie and My Little Pony movie. And this was released in a summer that included Short Circuit, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Labyrinth, Big Trouble in Little China, Karate Kid Part 2, Aliens, Howard the Duck, Stand By Me, Flight of the Navigator, and The Fly. Wow. And there are some absolute duds in there, some legendary duds, like Howard the Duck and Labyrinth.
There's some legendary bangers in there, too.
Yeah, so it's definitely got lost in the shuffle. This movie was pretty critically lambasted its contemporary critics basically just called it a glorified TV commercial.
Yeah.
Which it is. And it was basically planned that way. It's because Hasbro... So in a TV series that featured no deaths up to this point, I want you to make that clear, Michael. No Transformers had died in Transformers before the movie came out. And the writers had basically made a lot of Transformers basically familial characters, like father figures or brothers or things like that. And Hasbro ordered that they had to kill off several existing characters to refresh the cast so they could sell new toys. So this movie is just packed with Transformers dying. And, like, not just, like, random Transformer number 72. Like, prominent characters in the TV series are pretty, like, unceremoniously murdered in the show. Including, I mean, Optimus Prime dies 20 minutes into this movie, Michael. Did you know Optimus died in this movie? I mean, it's pretty famous.
Yeah. I told my brother we were watching this. He's like, he said he remembers liking it except for one part, and I'll know it when I see it. And I think that, like, unlock something that somewhere somehow I had heard that he dies in this.
Yeah, there is it's memed at this point. Also, his, like, the death, him lying on the deathbed, I think is a meme, which is fucked up, but it is what it is. So I guess before I do any tell any more, I can, like, summarize what this movie is, which is
I would say even before we do that you and I Transformer roll out.
You know what? That's a good idea, Michael.
You gotta get into character.
All right. I will transform first. Here we go. I don't know about this one, Michael. I'm Backbuster.
Ooh.
Yeah. Little sexual, I think.
That just makes me think of a Backlash from Blastcore. The okay, dump truck, sure, that you have to, like, swing around.
Sure. Or maybe, like, I could be Blade. I cannot Blade. Bane. I could be Bane. A Bane bot. And I'm going to break the Bat bot is my thing. That's, like, what I do. This one's a little risque, Michael. I can't get past that. All right, you go next. Go ahead.
I got After Feather.
After Feather?
So it's like an afterburner, but I just kind of float, I guess.
Well, it's like, man, crank up the after feathers.
These are terrible.
Yeah, man, that was rough.
All right, let's go again. Let's go again and do the very bottom one.
Okay, here we go. What I got? I'm Earthquake. Pretty sure.
There you go.
I feel like there has to be a Transformer named Earthquake.
Has to be.
Yeah. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. I shake things up with my, I've got like those, like this, the sound waves, they got little robots. The little fists that shake.
Little jackhammers.
Yeah, little jackhammer fists. I've got those, I can transform into those on my hands and my legs. I can also vibrate really quick to break the ground or something, I guess. I don't know. Go, Michael.
I just have Dagger.
Dagger. That's also got to be a Transformer at some point.
I have the Endless Knives perk from D&D. It's just I can always pull out a dagger somewhere.
Just Cloud of Daggers ability.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, just always throwing knives. And everyone kind of hates Dagger because he's like literally always throwing knives at people. he's kind of a dick. All right, that went smashingly. That was Michael, do you think you could summarize this movie? It's pretty insane.
I can try.
Yeah.
So the first scene is Unicron, which is like the Transformers equivalent to Galactus. Actually, I watched that death battle after we watched the
that's
movie.
That's where it came up, because I mentioned Unicron, because you mentioned death battle. Yeah.
I said the next person was Galactus, but they didn't show who he was facing. So I was like, who would it be? And you just threw out Unicron. I was like, oh, you're actually right, because I looked it up.
Yeah, and that's when we found out that Michael didn't know much about Transformers, which surprised me. And that's how we got here.
To upset the internet. So Unicron goes and destroys this planet, and then it cuts to the Autobots doing Autobot stuff, having a good old grand old time, and the Decepticons come in and attack. Megatron shoots Optimus Prime like 7 times in the chassis, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his front bumper.
The pelvis area.
Yeah.
Optimus gets some shots off and wounds Megatron pretty severely. The Decepticons get on... oh, what the hell? Astro Train, I think was the name of it.
Yeah, the Astro Train. The train slash spaceship, of course.
Yeah, the train he transforms into a spaceship and shoots off into space.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Optimus dies, as we stated. He gives the... I keep wanting to call it the Allspark because of the Michael Bay movie. He gives the Matrix, not a better name, to Ultra Magnus, which with a name like that, he sounds like he should be the leader anyway.
Yeah, he's like the second in command guy. It's been a while, but yes.
Meanwhile, Starscream, in a big twist no one saw coming, overthrows Megatron, chucks him and a bunch of other Decepticons into space, and takes over as the leader of the Decepticons.
That scene is Megatron. So fucking funny to me. It's
so dumb.
Just dump him into space. Starscream is always great. Here, go ahead, sorry.
Megatron's floating along, runs into Unicron, who completely rebuilds him, gives him a new name as Galvatron.
Yep. A new name. It's yeah, a new right.
Yeah, I guess that counts as a death. They basically killed Megatron.
Yeah,
Megatron's like, fuck you, I'm not working for you, but Unicron has some kind of hold over him. He can disable him, basically. So he tells Galvatron that he's going to kill Ultra Magnus, destroy the Matrix, because it's basically the only thing that can stop Unicron from devouring the universe.
Mm-hmm.
But first, Galvatron goes back to the Decepticons, kills Starscream.
Yeah.
Talk about unceremonious death. He just, like... what's the word? He just, like, degrades him into chunks.
Disintegrates him? Vaporizes him? I don't know. He, like, dismantles him. Yeah, galvanizes him. Because, in case you didn't know, Megatron turns into a gun in G1 Transformers, and then when he's a Galvatron, he's just a bigger gun. That's what he turns into.
And it sounds like a lot's happening. I swear to God, this is the first, like, 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, this is an hour and a half. This is a feature-length movie. And yeah, a lot has happened, and a lot more is going to happen.
Although it can be summarized, like, the next 45 minutes is the Autobots trying to keep the Matrix away from the Decepticons, and they're basically just chasing each other from location to location, introducing us to dozens and dozens and dozens of characters. There has to be upwards of like 100 characters in this movie. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I, off air, before we were going to record, I told Michael, I described the movie as a fire hose of Transformers information. It's just constantly shooting you with Transformers stuff. 2 years with the Transformers stuff all at once. Yeah.
It's insane. Like, they... Some of them go to this planet where this, like, four-faced head is judging people and dropping them into a pit of probably my wife's least favorite name in the entire movie, the Sharkticons.
The Sharkticons, yep, yeah, yeah.
Real fucking dumb. God. Yeah, so, like, it's just this huge chunk of the movie, and it's just playing keep away with the Matrix until...
Mm-hmm.
They all finally converge at Unicron, where the finale happens.
Yeah, inside of Unicron.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And then I
felt like I missed something, because they're flooding at one point. I'm like, where's all this water coming from? Aren't they in Unicron? Did they get somewhere else? Just has this big tank of water on them.
Yeah, I think it's like just his insides are weird.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be like this big planet-sized robot.
Yeah, he's massive. And then Hot Rod, like, uses the Matrix. He becomes Rodimus Prime, uses the Matrix, and destroys Galvatron.
No, he does not destroy Galvatron. This is
the weakest... I meant to say Unicron. I'm sorry. I was looking at the name Galvatron at that second, but yes, sorry, I meant Unicron. Yeah.
This big showdown with Hot Rod and Galvatron, who they build up to be this big badass the whole movie. He picks him up and throws him through the wall of Unicron. He's out in space.
Yeah. Like, right back into space.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, and then blows up Unicron. They're all cheering. Cut to Unicron's head spinning around the planet, and then freeze frame. Transformers theme credits. Let's go. It's the most. It's 80s excess at its fucking finest. Oh, it's my, like, god.
How do we end this movie? Freeze frame. I don't know. Yeah.
and don't forget that we got two renditions of The Touch during this movie as well. Yeah.
Along with about 10 other out of place pop songs that do not fit the feel of the movie.
Watching Optimus Prime fight Megatron to The Touch is an iconic moment for many, many children of the 80s.
Easily one of the things I hear referenced most about this movie. And then the line, one shall rise, one shall fall, and one shall stand.
Yep. Until all are one. Man. but it's a full circle moment, because Rodimus Prime, I'm gonna say that even though I hate it, he gets The Touch also once he becomes Prime. So, you know, apparently that song is just playing inside their heads all the time when you're a Prime. So they wanted to position Rodimus as the new face leader of Transformers. Michael, how do you think that went?
Not well.
It did not go well, Michael. Well. They ended up bringing back, actually. So it was a bit of a disaster in terms of, like, you know, refreshing the brand.
They saw New Coke and they're like, yeah, we could do that.
Oh, absolutely. For Prime's death, according to the screenwriters, Hasbro underestimated the extent to which Prime's death would shock the young audience. Story consultant Flint Dill said, "We didn't know that he was an icon. It was a toy show. We thought we were killing off the old product line to replace it with new products. Kids were crying in the theaters. We heard about people leaving the movie. We were getting a lot of nasty notes about it. There was some kid who locked himself in his bedroom for 2 weeks." Optimus Prime was subsequently revived in the TV series. So, yeah. This movie is, like, it's really amazing that it exists to me. That it's become a cult classic since it came out. Like I said, it was not well received initially. It fucked up a lot of kids because
whenever I hear the fans talk about this, because I have a coworker that's huge into comic books and stuff, and he loves Transformers and this movie, and he's like, oh man, it's fantastic, it's so good. So like, I'm going into this, I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be awesome, it's gotta be like an actual movie. And like I said to you before we start recording, I think this barely qualifies as a movie. Multiple episodes had chunks cut out of them and then pasted together to make this movie.
Yeah, and it was lambasted as commercial at the time, and it still is. Like, I do think there are some interesting aspects of it. I think its dark tone and the fact that it's willing to kill off characters is actually pretty interesting. Like, and gives every scene some stakes, especially if you had been watching the show. Like, you watched the show prior to this, obviously. Obviously,
until a lot of the deaths, the behind the scenes of why they did that.
Yeah, and then it's like
kind of kills it.
Yeah, but like, if it was without that information and they just decided to do that, I think that'd be pretty fascinating. I mean, there were some cut scenes from the movie. The scene in which Ultra Magnus is shot and like blows into pieces, like on the junk planet, I think, is when this was scripted and storyboarded, so it was close to being added in the movie. Instead of that happening, he was originally going to be drawn and quartered.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And then another unproduced scene would have had the entire 84 product line, so the original line of Transformers, killed in a charge against the Decepticons.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's a nuts movie. Some things I do love about the movie. I think it looks really good, especially for the time. I think it's like...
That's one thing that I wanted to bring up, like, in the positive columns. In the first, probably 30 seconds, that scene of Unicron destroying that planet, I, like, paused the movie. Is like, this is 1986? Holy crap, this looks fantastic.
Yeah, that scene's incredible. It's harrowing. It's, like, I do love the way they designed the insides of, Unicron. I think like the psychedelic, weird, like kind of dystopian, kind of hellish, like mixing like 80s psychedelia with like a hellscape inside is pretty neat. I think it looks cool. I like Unicron's. I really like Unicron's design as a whole in this movie. I like some of the showing like the conveyor belt of Transformers being slowly dropped in to be digested. It's pretty fucked up, and that kid almost watches his dad get digested. Because you had to have human characters with Transformers, otherwise, I mean, there's no stakes, right? There's no human characters.
My wife wasn't aware that the Witwicky family started back in the cartoon. She thought it was just in the Michael Bay movies.
So I think Unicron as a whole is a win, and he has stood the test of time. He's a very popular Transformer character. The toy is nuts for Unicron.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So that's strong.
I'll praise the animation, but the use of strobe effects had me questioning whether I was going to be able to make it through the whole movie because they use them constantly.
Yes, there are a lot. Again, this movie is, I think 80s excess is the best way to describe this movie like as a whole. And I do love the soundtrack, mostly because it's so insane that it's just like, it just makes it the whole thing feel like more of a fever dream with like when you've got like 80s pop songs playing the entire time too, as they shoot from scene to scene.
Fever dream is the perfect way to put this, because it is constantly jumping location, is constantly introducing or removing characters. It's so much to keep track of, and it really expects you to have seen at least some of the first two seasons leading up to this movie, because if you come in blind, like my wife and I essentially did, it's too much. It is too much to keep track of. We had no idea what was going on. But luckily, like I said, that from about the 33% part way into the movie to the last 10 minutes is just playing keep away, and it's not, you don't need to pay attention too much, I guess.
Yeah, I think the story. I think the first 20 minutes is actually probably the best part of the movie.
Yeah, easily.
And then Optimus Prime dies. and then weirdly enough,
he took the movie with him.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, the movie faded out like he did. They decided to make him like lose color, like he was losing his soul basically when he died, was the reason they made him go gray.
Like, why couldn't they rebuild him? Because Cup is an older robot. He transforms into like a pickup truck.
Yeah.
But later on in the movie, he loses multiple limbs. He looks like he's in rough shape. And then Hot Rod just like, yeah, I can fix that. And he's fine.
I mean, Starscream loses a leg at one point, and I don't think they ever touch on how he gets it back.
No, they don't do that. Yeah, because he's foot's trapped, and he has to like shoot it off.
All right, Michael, I'm going to test you here. Do you have any favorite I want to know more about that guy from this movie. Were there any like this, even whether they're like well known or not? Anything that stood out to you in the movie?
I thought Perceptor was hilarious because he's surrounded by people that can transform from robot to vehicles and fly. They can fly and drive, and he transforms into a microscope or a telescope.
Yeah. to percept things.
It's like, that's not useful in battle. But he is voiced by Paul Eiding, aka Colonel Campbell.
Yeah, this is also, the movie has a nuts cast, by the way. Also.
Oh yeah, it's insane.
Yeah,
Frank Welker plays like six different characters.
Yeah, Robert Stack, Peter Cullen, of course.
Leonard Nimoy.
This is Orson Welles' final performance as Unicron. Yeah. It's obviously, like I said, they spent a lot of money on this movie. I know people. Most people, I would say, is favorite. People love. I think Soundwave is really a big one for a lot of people. From the
Soundwave's got a really iconic design.
Yeah,
I didn't realize the Autobots had an equivalent to him.
Yeah, no one really cares about what the fuck's his name.
Is that the one that? No, Casey Kasem voices someone too, and I couldn't remember. It would make sense that he would be the radio.
Yeah, what is his name? I don't remember.
Let me do a quick Google here.
This is I'm looking at the cast and his name just doesn't jump out to me, so I don't remember.
Laster, apparently.
Really? That's why.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. like a
sound blaster. Blaster. Yeah. That's people don't care about Blaster, they like Soundwave. I like Soundwave a lot. I mean, I like Megatron and Starscream, all those big ones. I like Blur. Who's just a really fast talking guy?
Oh yeah, robot. The micro machines guy.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you would like Blur also. I thought he might stick out because he. I think his bit's pretty fun.
Yeah, he was one that I heard the voice. I'm like, that sounds like the micro machines guy. It's like, what are you talking about? Because she's a little younger than I am.
Yeah, John Machida. Yeah, the he appeared in over 100 commercials. That's the micro machine man. Yeah. Him. I like the Dinobots. I mean, it's objectively dinosaur robots are cool.
I like the Insecticons because, of course, I do.
Yeah, yeah. facing your fears in your own unique way.
It's so weird. Yeah. I've said it on another episode. It's so weird how we're fascinated by the things that creep us out or whatever.
Yeah. There's a bunch of Transformers are cool. It's just sometimes the things they're in are less than. I think this is a fascinating movie. I don't think it's. I would not call it bad. I think it's fascinating, personally. It's just a wild thing that it exists. Did this make you interested in Transformers at all, Michael?
No. I would call this bad. Like I said earlier, I think it barely qualifies as a movie. It is just a glorified commercial, and it does whatever it can to shove as many robots in your face at any given time. It's not much on plot, which probably is to its benefit, because it would be impossible to track.
Yeah.
And both my wife and I left this feeling very dissatisfied, especially after the hype that I kept hearing about.
Yeah, I think I tried to refrain from hyping it up.
The internet does that for you.
Yeah, it was Leonard Maltin, a famous movie reviewer. I think he's still reviewing movies. He's definitely still, he is. He described this, he gave it the lowest possible rating he could, and described it as little more than an obnoxious feature-length toy commercial. That deafening rock score certainly doesn't help. So I think that might capture my feelings.
Yes. The whole, even if it's just like pandering, like the Mario Brothers movie last year, like it can be done to some effect of enjoyable. This failed that.
Well, we've continued our journey into 80s and 90s era properties with Transformers. Michael, what are we doing for our next, I think our final dip into this kind of stuff? This era of cartoons and child targeted.
I don't know, because like, I can't help but notice that the G.I. Joe movie came out the year after this one.
Oh, God.
And I know even less about G.I. Joe, but I cannot help but be fascinated in what that has to offer.
Maybe we will dip into that. I think that movie's more well-regarded, but I could be wrong.
Rob Paulsen plays a character named Snowjob, which is
that's a choice. I know what that character is, yes. Good stuff. But yeah, next episode, Michael, episode 20, our 20th episode, it's not really our 20th episode, but our 20th numbered episode. we are dipping into another gritty dystopian take on a beloved children's property with Power Rangers Shattered Grid. If you're not familiar with this, it's basically the one where the Green Ranger kills people. It becomes evil and kills people. Evil again, I guess. have you read any of this, Michael? Know anything about this?
Nope. I just knew based on what you just explained there, and that's about it.
Yeah, I have some a few things that I know about it. It's like, I think it's 12 issues, so a bit, definitely like longer than I Thrown In was. So we'll see how that goes. I'm hoping to like it more than Last Ronin, which I thought was just all right.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after that will be April. So no, not going to tease one thing yet, but we've got some April stuff planned out.
Yeah. We're working on some stuff.
Yeah. So then we got that. And if you like our show here, you like it here's more, you can go check out Summer School, our Buffy podcast. When this comes out, I think will be episode 4 or 5 of the show. As we're talking to you right now, we are literally way ahead of, we are like twice as far into that, like in reality.
Season one.
Yeah, we have finished season one. The fact that this show is still going should let you know that they are enjoying, they end up enjoying the show. So it's a little peek behind the curtain there.
Enjoy the podcast at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, until we'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks.
Grimlock's an overrated character.
Grimlock is an overrated character? He's all right. He's a dinosaur. He's a T-Rex robot.
Which is a cool concept. Giving him like the third-person Hulk speech is... I guess he's supposed to be dumb because he's prehistoric or whatever, but...
Yeah, they're old. That's why they also like to be in their dinosaur form as opposed to their robot form more. It's definitely like some Boba Fett ishness to Grimlock. He does more than Boba Fett though, so give him that.
He does do that.
Yeah,
cool concept, but
Unicron rules. Other than that, until next time, guys. Later.
Roll out.